Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome into this edition of Road Trippin' with RJ and Channing. I'm your host, Allie Clifton, and we are alongside the Long Shot Podcast with Duncan Robinson and Davis Reed.
Big donkeys.
Come on. Oh
my God. It's basically a collaboration.
Big donkeys. I like that one. I
heard
that.
We are here in the Blue Wire Studios in the Wynn Las Vegas during Summer League, so we're just here to have a little powwow. Talk basketball. Just kidding. We don't like talking about basketball.
Yeah, we do sometimes. But if we do, it'll go down a rabbit hole.
Oh,
of
my
rants.
God.
But for our Road Tripping listeners, and then if you want to flip it for the Long Shot Podcast listeners, the relationship in terms of how you guys know one another.
You
just
said
go blue, which I was not a fan of because I'm a Buckeye through and
through. I mean, he has no affiliation, true affiliation
to
the University of Michigan. Davis and I go back a little bit. We're not from the same area. I'm from New Hampshire.
Okay.
He's from
part of New Hampshire.
Portsmouth.
Okay. I grew up in Goffstown.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
Have you
There's only one other NBA player from New Hampshire. It's Matt Bonner.
So
I was born in New York, and then from when I was one till I was seven, I lived in Goffstown, New Hampshire.
Are you serious?
Dead serious. I can't make that.
I can't.
I was going to say Goffstown is a crazy name drop.
Where the first Red Lobster was?
Yes. Actually, I don't know the Red Lobster. Are you sure the first Red Lobster wasn't in Portland, Maine?
I remember going to the
shout
first.
Out Cheddar Biscuits.
Fast. Yes. Hey,
but yeah. No, the first Red Lobster, there was a line. Because I remember my parents, we drove a long way to go to this place. And it was like lobster. I remember my dad had like a suit on. It was like a thing.
Unbelievable.
Kidding. We have spent how many hours?
My mic sounds funny. Okay, there we go. I've known Channing since, you know, I was 16, 17. I did not know that, bro.
You didn't know
that?
That's amazing.
I did not know you. I knew where you were born in New York.
Right.
I knew you spent some time out there. And you moved to Phoenix. You glossed over a 7-year stretch of fucking New Hampshire.
That's amazing.
We could have been making fun of you.
There is nobody from New Hampshire that plays like high-level basketball. That's why I feel like I would have known that.
I'm
still questioning. Is there a Goffstown, New York? Is that possible?
No. Trust me. I lived in Goffstown, fucking New Hampshire.
Oh,
and my dad had a Gordon Setter named Anwar, after Anwar Sadat. And then the guy from Egypt, I think he was like the governor or the mayor. Mayor of Egypt. And he used to take peanut butter and water and hit golf balls. We had like 30 acres. He would hit golf balls into the forest and let the dog, like he would go have the dog find it. And it was just, that was what we did. Or go fishing for a catfish.
In the middle of nowhere with nothing.
I mean, those are New Hampshire activities right there.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Can we get like a fact check? Do you guys, is there something like?
I did actually just type in Channing Frye, Goffstown. Do you even know how to spell Goffstown?
Is it G-O?
I've never heard of the city.
F-S-T-O-W-N.
New Hampshire, and nothing comes up.
Where do you think Logan is born?
No way. He was born in New Hampshire?
He says New England. But he was actually, Logan is named after Logan Airport in Boston.
Wow. Okay, man. So
because my parents
he tells people Wolverine, but that's cool.
I'm loving this. New England is strongly represented in this collaboration.
For so long, only when they were winning. So I was like, fuck the Patriots.
So New Hampshire.
Wow.
And then
he's from Kansas.
Oh God, and my cousin.
Don't do that.
No, I'm dead serious.
Okay, tell me
where.
Shit.
Don't tell me it's Lenexa.
Oh, that sounds weird. No, shit. What is the name of the town? Marcus is going to kill me. I got to text him. But no.
Get back to me. Yeah, get back to me.
Dead serious. He's like born and raised in Kansas. Big Kansas, like everything. They flipped out when the Royals won.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's how Kansas he is.
He's a fake Royals fan, too. Just bandwagon. Know.
Congratulations.
Well, yeah. You know, they're bad my whole life. They win, and then you jump on the, you know, you start wearing the Royals stuff around.
Yeah, you got it. Listen, you got to earn the support. You got to earn the support a little bit.
100%.
I'm not a Cardinals fan. I moved to Arizona when I was 7. Hated the Cardinals because for a decade they were trash. And so I'm not supporting this team. That being said, I didn't jump on the bandwagon when they started being good, but that's just a guy I am.
So how did the two of you meet then?
So I wasn't very good at basketball in middle school and high school. Davis was very good.
Oh, same here.
Really good.
At basketball in middle school and high school. But neither of us were recruited very much. So very common in New England. I did a fifth year of high school at a prep school. And Davis happened to be at the same place. We had met like a couple years earlier at one of those like camps. Recruiting events. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we met at prep school, 1 year prep school together, and went off to different schools in the same conference, actually, Division III schools, Wesleyan for him, Williams for myself. And
Wesleyan's a pretty good school.
I'm pretty smart.
It's not as good as Williams, but it's a good school.
It's a pretty good school. It's a pretty good school. It's not bad. What, bro?
Wait, you went to Division III and then to Michigan?
Yeah.
Dude,
you didn't know that?
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
It's the most overplayed storyline.
I mean, it's gotten way too much coverage at this point. But if you want to rehash it, we can.
Let's do it.
You give a lot of people hope, though.
I like to think of it that I'm carrying the torch for Division III basketball.
Absolutely.
That's what I like to think of it. I mean,
what is Division III basketball?
Give me the top three players from Division III.
Oh,
all time.
Yeah,
Devin George.
Yeah, shout out my guy.
I'm gonna throw myself out of it. I think his name's Andy or Adam Panko. Played overseas for a while.
I've heard Potapenko?
Not Potapenko, not Vitaly.
Dave, anyone else I'm missing? Like obvious ones?
You're probably in there.
I would probably say I'm in the mix.
There we go.
Yeah.
What is a day in the life of Division III?
Man.
You went to a very good school after that.
Yeah.
So when you were at Division III, did you like have to make your own lunch? Like what was that like? But that's what I assume is that you like bus everywhere.
What
you
was get, the post-game meals?
You get
meals?
Sack lunch.
Oh, we didn't get post-game meals. Yeah. I will say the resources basketball-wise were very limited.
Channing, there's a reason why you're sitting there.
So I know, I just saw the dog.
See the dog.
She had a little Rumpusaurus Rex out.
Rumpusaurus Rex. Did you say Rumpusaurus Rex?
Yeah.
Did you hear nice him say they didn't get post-game meals?
Damn, y'all were hungry as shit.
I mean, we
would get like pizza.
You get pre-game meals. You get pre-game meals at the dining hall.
If we won, we would go to Chipotle.
Ooh.
And then, you're busing everywhere, but it's all in a relatively close radius. You got the occasional, like, longer road trip. But, yeah, I mean, it's very, very different than the University of Arizona. I'm sure you guys were getting.
You went to the University of Michigan.
I mean, that's very true.
But that's still probably not the same level.
I got to imagine the U of A is just an entirely different.
It's You guys had private jets. We had to take Southwest.
Isn't that a Pac-12 thing though?
What?
Isn't that a Pac-12 thing?
Yeah, like it's a West Coast thing. Imagine I fly Southwest Washington. Still to this day.
But didn't the Pac-12 have or Pac-10 when you guys they have like a deal with Southwest where you had to fly Southwest? Or am I making that up?
You couldn't take private jets, I think, at the time.
Yeah, there's some probably beaches. But the difference for us is that at our school, like Michigan is a football school.
Very true.
Excuse me. Michigan's a football school. But basketball program is one of the best in the country. At our school, it's a basketball school.
Very true.
And then a basketball school, right?
A softball, swimming.
Swimming. Swimming. Like we have some, we got some great golfers. We got some stuff. But I'm saying if you're talking about basketball, football is, they're working. They're gonna try and get something done. But like that was the difference between being in Tucson and Burnt, Ann Arbor. It's just that like it's basketball.
100%. And I experienced that in that we were significantly better than the football program.
Yeah.
During my time. But it was always football program got the most love, got the most money, got the most support. That's just how it was. And then finally at the end, like my senior year, we went to the Final Four and it was like kind of starting to change.
Yeah.
But then Harbaugh like kind of started to figure it out, and then they were like back relevant again.
Yeah. So Michigan football, you can't. Oh, I'm sorry, Ohio State over there. But basketball, there's not many schools that are both. It's almost impossible to be a basketball and football school.
2008, University of Kansas.
I think University of Kansas football is like.
And on that note.
Wait, 2008. What did the Kansas? Did you guys won a bowl or something? Yeah,
national championship in basketball and Orange Bowl in football.
Wow.
Fun fact. But one year
is not. Like I would say Florida when Billy Donovan.
Florida, that's a good one for sure. Tebow with
And they had those good teams, and then you would go. But even then, you would still consider that a football school. That basketball program is elite. Right?
Yes, 100%.
Like Michigan is a
UCLA, USC.
No.
USC's had some really good players that people forget about, like DeRozan.
Yes,
because their teams haven't been great.
You have Dwayne Dedman. Yeah. You have
Taj Gibson.
Taj Gibson, like OJ
Mayo, Nick Young, OJ Mayo. You don't like the OJ Mayo one?
I thought that he was really good in high school.
He was good. He was a good player.
We used to barbecue that ass.
You know, he wasn't playing no defense. He wasn't playing no defense.
No, not a lick of defense.
I just remember that. If you weren't good in high school, how did you end up at Arizona? Because I at least I had to take
it. No, you got it, Richard.
Just like, hey, he can come.
Funny story.
Is it?
I went to junior high in Chandler, Arizona. Was 7-8-9. So I didn't play varsity freshman year. I went to St. Mary's High School because my parents said I had to go to a private school. So I went to St. Mary's High School. I played one game of varsity my sophomore year. Broke my wrist.
Mm.
This side. Yep, that. Broke my hand. Didn't play sophomore year. Worked my ass off junior, senior year. Junior year, I was doing all this AAU stuff. U of A goes, Channing, we think we like you. So I took an unofficial visit. I knew Richard. And they were like, well, we might have to redshirt you, but here's a list of other guys we like ahead of you unless you commit now. It was like Tyson Chandler, NBA
class,
dudes.
No, his class for big men, and that was one
was
of the
disgusting.
That was part of the reason
why. It was
the
last year. So like Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler.
Kwame Brown.
Usman Cisse.
These were
which
all
is
guys
a wild
out of
name.
His class.
But he hurt himself on his workouts. He tore his ACL.
Sagana Yap. Sagana Yap was in part of that high school. All these guys.
Disgusting.
So Channing was really low on the center totem pole coming out of high school.
135 was technically my rank.
Yeah.
Really?
We had five players. It was Will Bynum, who was on Chicago preps.
Yeah.
Right? And then it was like Dennis Lattimore, McDonald's All-American, 6'8", 240, tatted up. Yeah. Big old boy.
You were like the fifth best player in your recruiting class.
Yeah, basically. This is not, I'm not lying. So they offered me, they were like, well, if you, you know, sign now, then, you know, we'll, you know, work with you. And I was like, okay, where do I sign? So I signed, and then they dogged me out for 2 years, and I end up getting good because they end up teaching me how to
play
basketball.
He won a state championship his senior year. Me, Gilbert, Luke Walton, we all drove down there to watch him play state championship.
Love that.
And it was more of like, Channing was like, you know, Arizona has very few guys that could play at Arizona, right? Like I was the
you're saying in-state.
In-state, yeah.
I was only five.
But at my time, I was the third because it went Sean Elliott. Then there was a long gap. Then it went Mike Bibby. And it was like Arizona had a huge program, but it was like the state just wasn't developing basketball players. So then it went me. And then after that, it was him and then Jared Bayless. And then they started having prep schools in Arizona. Yeah, but that's why Ayton has connections there. But it was just, you have to support each other. You know this, right? Like you have to support each other on the journey. Like I didn't even know about, like, you could go do this until Mike Bibby. And I was a sophomore when he was a senior. And they were like, Mike Bibby. I'm like, who the fuck is Mike Bibby? And I walk into a gym. I'm like, oh, he's really good at basketball.
It was wild watching him play basketball.
Slow.
It looked like he was moving like this. And everyone was like getting out of his way. He was like, and you're like, oh, no dunks? And you have 50?
Yeah. So Mike took me under his wing. Like he went to Arizona and I would go up there and recruit. And I didn't know if I was going to be good enough to play. I was only still 15 or something. So I would go up there, kind of hang out with them. And I kept working on my game. So what Mike meant to me, like, we always tried to pay it forward. So, like, yeah. Mike would come and support me. I watched Mike Bibby play in a state championship game. So we went down there. But Channing was trash. I was a true center. He was a true center in, like, true 2004.
Couldn't shoot. So you weren't shooting at all?
No. He didn't even shoot when his first couple years in the league.
And then I used to get dogged out. Then they had me guarding motherfucking Yao Ming and Shaq. And I said, enough is enough. Like, and this ain't me. Like, when I was a rookie, I was 6'10", 6'11", 230. And they were like, that's when centers existed.
Like, yeah. Big body.
Big body.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was the worst. They were like, Channing, go get, Shaq. Go get, like, Jahidi White.
That's a great name drop right there.
Yeah, Jahidi White. Because I was like, damn, go guard Z-Bo straight up. Go guard, like, young Mark Gasol. And I was like, you know what?
Hang on. What is it like guarding Yao Ming? Like,
is it possible?
What did you do?
You know, Boban makes you feel like makes everyone look like a little kid, right? Remember when Boban was doing this to Anthony Davis? Yeah. And he touch it? That's what it was like for everyone with Yao Ming.
But imagine Yao Ming shot the technical fouls for Houston.
So now, crazy touch.
Crazy. So even if you thought you did good, he was just like, turnaround jumper, like you shoot on little kids. He's like,
He's 6 inches taller than Shaq.
That's wild.
Six inches taller than Shaq.
His legs were tree trunks.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was like, ah. And he was just
you call for help?
You can't double team him because he was just.
He had dimes to
Ron Artest, who's averaging 30 that year. Like, people forget Ron Artest was averaging 25 for a whole season.
If Yao was fully healthy and came around right now in today's NBA, but like
MVP,
it'd be like Shaq.
What?
Really?
Pick and rolls, he was going to get abused.
Okay.
But this was the problem. You were going to, like, and this is where the game is different. I know Draymond talk a lot of shit. Draymond's not guarding him. Like, that small ball,
five. That ain't going.
PJ Tucker, like, you can't do that with a guy that size because he will just duck in, you put it up, you're
going
to have to collapse, and then you throw it out. So, yes, somebody, tough him in the pick and roll. But like him, Shaq, you couldn't go Draymond on Shaq. Shaq used to force you to have 2 to 3 bigs on your roster. So immediately you lost depth on the perimeter because you had to have 2 or 3 bigs because you were going to have to foul him 18 times.
Yeah.
Like,
he's just fouling people out.
I caught 05 Shaq. I caught
01 Shaq, bro.
I caught 05 Shaq. And like, you look at video and you're like, damn, he's so big. As a human being, he's not supposed to move like that. I was playing in New York, right? We're up. I know he probably went out the night before, so I'm like, I'm not going to say shit, right? I'm going to just let this game go by. Third quarter comes, and he's doing okay. They're down 6. He looks at me. He's like, okay, good game, Lil Fry. We got to win this now. And just
Lil Fry.
Boom, and it basically fucks me up for the whole quarter. Like, there's no fouling. There's no, like, imagine trying to foul a tree moving like a cat and just dunk after hook shot after dunk. It's just impossible to move a human that big and that he's mean.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You know those flybys? You know those flybys you try and do?
Yeah.
Like, and this is, first of all, if they called a foul every time you actually fouled Shaq, like, there were times he would dunk it, smack his arm, and the referee wouldn't even call it. That's facts. But you would do a flyby, like, just trying to, like, hey, I'm coming to help. And he would be like, watch it, little fella. If you put your hand there, I'll break your wrist. And you're like,
oh, he's telling me.
You're like, no,
what?
He was
saying, middle of the game?
If his body, and you try to block a ball, and there's a rim right there, metal bar, he'll break your wrist.
I'll try and break your
wrist. No, he goes, I will break your wrist. He goes, better watch your hand,
imagine
I'll break your wrist.
Somebody the size of Gobert with, like,
150 pounds
attitude. Yeah. Like, me and you, I'm going to win this every single time. There's no...
Roger Mason. What's that big guy?
And you were 230 trying to guard him?
Because everyone else fouled out. We had Eddie Curry fouled out. Jerome James fouled out. We had me. We had David Lee. And everyone was like, who wants this? I was like, damn.
Most dominant big man?
Dominant physically.
Physically, yes. Like Kareem, let's not disrespect. Like you couldn't do shit with Kareem either, or Wilt and all these guys. But physically dominant, yeah. Who's somebody that, Channing asked a bunch of players this, who's somebody that when you got to the league, you were like, what the fuck, bro? Is this dude a real player? Like, I know he's good.
You thought he was good.
You're like, how good is he?
I mean,
Jalen Suggs said Kyrie. He was like, you know Kyrie's ridiculous. You know this is the video. But when you try and keep that fucker in front of you, you're like, he's not a real player.
So I'm going to give you two answers, and two of them are for different reasons. The first one is Giannis, because it's like his mentality and his size and his length. And it's like,
and he's always pissed.
I don't know. There are certain possessions where I don't know what you're supposed to do with that. Like, I mean, certainly I don't know what to do, but
I had to have a huddle when we were in Cleveland about, hey guys, this is us. It was Shump, Bron, JR, me, Richard, Tristan, Kevin, all had to have a huddle like, hey, we all need to gather.
We need to help
each other. That was 6 years ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that was baby Giannis.
And every year he's baby coming Giannis. Back like just a little bit
yoked
more buffed up.
And matter.
Yeah. He don't enjoy summer. All he does is eat weights.
And there was something about like being in the bubble in that small, tight-ass gym.
Made him bigger.
Just made him bigger. I swear to you. So that, and then the other one is, I mean, it's Kyrie, because like you can just tell, like, he just like fucks around with the game because he wants to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it doesn't interest him.
He does that with a lot of things.
It doesn't interest him to just like come off a ball screen and like shoot a three because he's open. Like he wants to like sit in the pocket and like cut back and like step, like do something, like not because the defense is making him do it.
He's like bored.
No, he wants to do workouts.
He shows. Kyrie comes in, it's like, let me show you this package. Yeah. I'm about to go.
Yes.
This is what I'm gonna do. I'm going to split the screen. I'm like, Kyrie, but you're open in there. Yeah, but that's fine. I'm going to split the screen. Then I'm going to take the body. Then I'm going to go left-hand floater. Or then the next time, I'm going to show the left hand. Then come fillet finish high off the glass.
Yes.
Okay, Kai, go knock yourself out, bro. Right. It's ridiculous.
Kevin Durant has a little of that too, right? Yes. Just like messing around with the game.
Yeah. Well, because it's just like there's no human being that's ever been created with his skill set. And I think Chet, not trying to compare them, but I'm saying as like a tall shooter skill, like you're not really contesting
his.
I'm
not.
No,
they were doing it the other day on the show.
But this is the problem with that. We forget who Kevin Durant was when he first came in. If you compare, but I'm saying you compare Kevin Durant's rookie year after his freshman year to Chet right now, you'd be like, I can see the thin comparison, the 7 foot skill set. I'm not comparing the two.
Okay.
It's like even people were like, oh, if you compare someone to Giannis, and it's like, do you remember what Giannis looked like when he first
came
in?
That's true. That's fair.
Like you're not comparing him to the MVP Giannis now. You're comparing him to when he came in. And I'm sorry, Kevin Durant, he still is probably the most unguardable human being that's probably been created.
Yeah. Oof. I agree with that.
Yeah. He's a 7 foot two guard.
Yeah.
Okay. With a 50-40-90 clip.
How is your off season? What's going on in your world?
It's going well. I'm mostly just, you know, focused on improving, playing a lot. I actually had a surgery, very minor. It was an optional surgery.
It was a nose job.
Yeah. I had an old fracture in my nose.
You're already pretty enough.
There's nothing external. I'd like to make that very clear. But I had an old fracture in my nose, and I couldn't breathe out of one of my nostrils. Uh-huh. Basically my whole life, like since I was in like 7th grade. So an old teammate of mine, Rodney Magruder.
Yeah.
I hope that's not a
MacGruber.
I hope that's not a HIPAA violation that I'm saying that he also had the surgery. But I reached out to him and asked him like, what was the experience? And he said it was like life-changing for him, sleep, conditioning, everything. So I went and I got a consultation. It turns out my right nostril was 90% blocked.
Wow. Yeah. Your breath was it weird. That breathing.
So I was getting like half the air. I was getting like half the air that I
they
could
were like,
have.
Stop being a mouth breather.
You're yes.
Like, well, so what happened when you got it fixed? Like
it was brutal for like 10 days, but we're on the other side of that now, thankfully. So
and you can breathe.
Yeah, I can breathe. It's amazing. I feel like
a
new man.
Your side profile is far, far better.
Yeah, well, I'll just reiterate. Nothing externally changed.
No. This is what people say so that insurance will cover the nose job.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Does Miami even have an off season? So we don't, like, we've not played in Miami. I had an opportunity and I decided, I like my body fat being around 20. So, like, what is that like? Because, dude, as media people on this side, retired, we talk Miami's culture. Miami's culture is this, and UD is great, right? I remember you, Chubby UD at Florida.
Oh yeah.
And then now he's shredded beef, and he's 47 years old. Yeah. Right, yeah. Wild. We've all seen it. What, you know, you don't get have to give us all the secrets, but what is that really like?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's. I don't want to say it exists more in like theory. Like the culture aspect is real, and it's something we talk about a lot. I think it's more just comes down to like a certain level of accountability, which I know you guys can probably imagine in different stops. Like it can be hard to maintain in an NBA locker room, like accountability, like, you know, 1 through 16 or whatever it is. So it's a certain level of accountability. And then it's also really just like maximizing every single day. You know what I mean? Like development wise, like they're never going to at any point in the season, you know, whatever, like they're never just going to let you have a day where you're not just showing up and just like checking a box. Like they're going to make sure you're, you know, in the weight room, watching film, if you've been on the court a bunch, you know, whatever, or getting better in your game. So I don't think it's like, I do feel like in theory, like what's talked around the league, like it's talked about like it's some like crazy madness. Yeah, like militant.
It sounds very similar to San Antonio.
I really just think it's about just like, they really just prioritize like being a professional, you know what I mean? Like showing up, handling your business. The body fat thing is real. That is real.
Every single day?
No.
It's every Monday.
Yeah, it's about once a week.
Yeah. In San Antonio, they put it up on the board. So there's a big thing. There's a big thing out there.
That
and it has everyone's name, and it says like last week, weight, body fat. Yeah. And then like they'll be like, hey, when you know, trainers might give you a little tip, like, hey man, we're gonna check body fat. Back off the trip, right? So you gotta make sure, because road trips, you're sitting there at buffets, you're not working out. So all of a 100%. Sudden you can gain 5 pounds. Easily on a road trip because you've been gone 6 days.
You just have, you have a range that you have to stay within.
The road trip, that's the thing that kind of bothers me, is that we'll like play in Chicago. We get on the plane and we're heading back to Miami and we got like deep dish pizza on there. And that's like, we wake up the next morning. It's like, you got weight and body fat. So people are like looking at the pizza and then like looking at, are people like, do we have it tomorrow? Like what's going on? So it's like, it is a little game in that. But I mean, mostly like what you eat, I mean, you can put on, it depends what type of body type you have. I don't have a type of body type where I can just put on weight. I have the opposite. I get what I call skinny fat. I like lose weight, but my body fat goes up. Yeah. You know what I mean?
My question for you two is this. Give me two things that on your guys' podcast that you guys disagree on. Like if it's a player, a thing, like what is something that like, and I know sometimes as players, we like to be like, look, I'm the player, I know. But like, what is something that you're like really passionate about?
That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
You know, I've been doing this for a couple of years.
Yeah, you guys just started the podcast, right?
No, we're last like, year. Yeah, last we're year. We're like,
that's just started.
18. Are we 18 months in? 18 months in?
Roughly. That's last January.
That's not even a baby anymore. That's like a toddler.
Yeah, 18 months. We got some episodes under our belt.
We're like going through puberty as a podcast.
Still change diapers at 18 months.
That's very true. That's very true. You got something?
I don't know. No.
We're
very similar. I actually think it's to the detriment of the podcast.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Very like indecisive people too. Yeah. That's my biggest flaw as a human being.
Yeah.
I'm incredibly indecisive.
And I'm about to go referee and I'm an extremely indecisive person also. Yeah.
Wait, where are you refereeing?
Summer League.
Here's a question.
Are you really?
Yes. Oh, yes.
I've been going to referee classes every morning.
Like an actual summer league game.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at that. Wow. See, your face is the same way mine was when they asked me. And they were
They asked me.
Hey Rich, like, you know, I did some like
for some content.
Content. I did some like stuff at the draft combine. They're like, hey, would you want to come? Because they do like a referee training camp right now for all like younger referees. So they bring them in here, a lot of film. We're watching film. They're going over all the stuff. And so they're like, hey, if you want to come. So every morning for the last like 5 days, I've been in there for like 90 minutes, like going over the film, doing all this stuff, just to referee a quarter or referee one quarter.
Holy shit.
And it's going to be trash. I'm going to be tragic.
After watching the film, do you have a different perspective than you did as a player? Because I feel like as players, we all feel like we would be able to referee better.
1,000%, we could not.
We could not.
We could not.
Okay. Well, so you have a newfound appreciation.
100. Well, because like when you say indecisive, like I'm kind of that way. It's like, that's kind of. Like, even when I'm calling a game, I was like, that's kind of blah, kind of. Yeah. When you're there, you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
You have to make a decision. You have to do it. And then there's like so much of like where you stand, what your zone is to call. And it's like all this shit that you're like, I wouldn't want to do this because it's a thankless job.
One of my college teammates, friends, Claire Aubrey. Mm. Shout out Claire. She is reffing. She's did a lot of ACC, SEC last year. She does the WNBA, G League. and like her goal is the NBA. And she's here, but she did a WNBA game a couple weeks ago that I was calling. And I mean, 20 minutes after the game, they missed a call in the last like minute. And she had her phone and she got a text that they got fined. And she was so like.
Wait, they do get fined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When they like miss a call or, yeah. So I was like, don't you guys think it would be beneficial to put the current players through?
No.
Because the more that players know what referees are supposed to look, the more they can cheat and adjust. As the game has progressed, players know what referees are looking at or what they're supposed to call.
But to your point, why do you think grabbing the guy and pulling him towards you
has gotten so prevalent? Oh, so referees and players play this cat and mouse game of like, what are you supposed to call and how can I get away with these moves? Because you have to call this.
You know, so when we first got Kyle last year, this was like early on in preseason, I think everybody knows Kyle gives the refs pretty hard time.
Yeah.
But he would tell me that, I don't know if he got film, tape, a book, I don't know, a manual, but he has memorized where on the floor all the refs are supposed to be when the ball, as the ball moves throughout the half court.
Yeah.
So what he does is he goes at refs if they're not in the right spots. So if somebody makes a call, he'll be like, you can't make that call, you're not in the right spot.
Well, they gave, and let me say this, they gave me three books, right? They're like, here's the official rule book, here's the public book, here's the private book, right? Here's like the book that referees get that's not public knowledge. Because again, you don't want, like, the referee's job is to keep the integrity of the game, right? And the more players, like, you know what a foul is, you know that. But the more you start messing with, hey, this referee's supposed to be here, you could probably block a person's vision. Because you know there's, like, the top referee, there's the middle referee, there's a bottom referee. I'm not using the right terminology just for the sake. But, like, if you know that this guy right here at the middle line is supposed to make the call in the paint, you could literally put a guy and just keep having him kind of stand in front of the
– That's next level strategy
that's
right there.
Next level. Next level. Like, yeah, I got a lot of other things to worry about.
I'm saying, I'm
trying to guard Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. Like, we were just talking.
If you're the offensive guy, stand in there to kind of block. And I only say this because think about Chris Paul is notorious for knowing all the rules. Whoa. And like, this guy didn't have his jersey out. That's a this. Yeah. And, oh, no, you're supposed to take the ball out on this side. So there are so many players that memorize the rule book that if you give them too much information, that's like, this is means millions of dollars and wins and games. Like, these motherfuckers will study.
We're talking about Kyle Lowry, who's, who is this? Oh, fuck it.
Fuck you.
Why? You want to come in here?
You want to come in?
You want to come in?
You want to come say what's up?
We have a seat for you. Come on.
Jaren, don't be scared. Then beat it. Then beat it.
Oh, wow.
Then beat it.
You go coach things.
He's thinking. He is thinking.
First of all, coach things. I've always liked your brother better.
Come on.
I've always liked your brother better. Then go.
You're really gonna do that to us though? Yeah, you're really gonna do that to us?
Yes. You know that's Jaren, right? I'm just joking.
No
I'm joking.
Shit,
oh my God.
He doesn't know. He's the straight one.
Oh,
he's
my.
He's the straight one.
Oh, my. Is that a...
Shout out to Jason. We love Jason.
Damn. What? He is.
He wore a shirt that said, Jason Collins.
Yes, yeah.
He wore a shirt that said, no, I'm the straight one.
They are twins.
We had one of the best podcasts with Jason.
Jason's great.
Yeah.
So he tried to break my arm one time, but he's cool.
He's a dirty little
fucking player. Sorry.
Really?
Dude. Strong. Both of them.
Aren't they both, though?
Strong so as dirty. Fuck.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, what limb am I okay getting broke or hurt if I go for this rebound? Like, they weren't the best jumpers. They weren't the best shooters. But, like, if there was an opportunity for them, for you to, like, have to double think, like, do I want to go rebound? It was.
You guys see Griff? You see Griff's big head ass right there? You see Griff
and Trey?
Griff.
The worst shooter from Duke ever.
Is that Trajan?
Yeah.
Doc, listen.
Yeah. He can shoot bro. That was my generation. He was that first.
He's from Alaska, right?
He's from Alaska.
And then Carlos Boozer
and Mario Chalmers.
Look at that.
Yeah. I didn't know Boozer was, I'll be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a wrap in five. Okay. What do you want to talk about?
Shit talkers in the NBA. Who's your top five? Because Kyle likes to be yapping sometimes.
I mean, Kyle talks a lot, but I wouldn't necessarily say that it's like
at somebody
directed personal. Like, I always think of, when I think about shit talking, I think of like the people that just cross that line of like, that is just so personal.
So aggressive. Like, it's so, the amount of energy
so
it takes.
So personal.
Just know I played with in KG.
I'm going to say two. I'm going to say two, both of which are, you know, I've had a front row seat of. Jimmy is one. Jimmy, like, it's interesting because you don't know what game it will be. Like, it'll just be something in his mind that will just set him off. And it just goes to a very dark place. And then the other one is probably, I mean, KG's probably up there, but I think UD is like, and granted, now he's in a situation where like,
he's just
all he does is run his mouth, and that's like part of his strength.
Yeah.
But man, he just has something to say about everything all the time.
Oh.
And everybody.
As well. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I would say UD is.
You guys still haven't. This is our last time. Did I let? You still haven't given us anything that you guys have disagreed.
We were going to end on that.
We're just such good friends.
My fault. Yeah.
We were such good. We're just such good friends. That's adorable.
Honestly, what we disagree on the most is this podcast.
What
for sure. In terms of, we've kind of talked about this. Davis and I were friends before we started this, and it's just really changed the nature of our
friendship.
Relationship.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I try to call him and say like, "Hey, man, how's your day going?" And he just, every time he calls me, it's like, work. "Hey, have we scheduled a guest? Hey, what time are we recording?"
Yeah.
Granted, he is very much responsible for like keeping everything in check,
that's
so Allie. I understand.
Allie,
that's Allie.
This literally just,
hey, I see you.
Yeah, I see you.
But yeah, that's been like a wedge. In fact, we spent way too much time around each other like the last probably 10 days. And we're thinking about just clearing a hotel room and just fighting.
Yeah.
Just like,
yeah,
set up.
We've just
set
up a couple times.
You know what I mean?
Wait, yeah. Guys have that? Yeah. You guys have that problem?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, because it's just after a while, it's like even your closest friend, like sometimes you're either too much alike or the shit, that like it's just like too much dessert, right? It's like, like, you know, I need to be around some people that I like actually don't like. And you're like, oh, I actually miss my friends. Right, but if you're with your friends all the time, then it's just like, ugh.
You know what I learned about you over these last 3 days here?
Who and what?
You know that quote, "Not all who wander are lost"?
Yeah. I'm a big just kind of.
That's
flow.
Richard wearing out that shirt today.
Yeah. Let's end on this.
So this is what happens, right? So I have two hotel rooms. I have one for ESPN that's at just stay
Look
with
at you,
know,
man.
Stay
with unbelievable.
I stay one at the Virgin because I'm doing stuff with ESPN. But then for Blue Wire, they got us a room here. So yeah. I was like, hey, guys, I'm going to come stay over here just so it's closer and easy. So I brought a backpack and I had a collared shirt in my room. I threw it in there, whatever. So this morning, right, wake up a little late, time for breakfast. I put on this collared shirt. Now, it was folded. This shit was a crop top. Whoever washed it, it was like a crop top. Now, it's about 45. I was like, damn, and I'm pissed off now because I got to sprint down to go find a shirt because I only had one other shirt.
Because you're running to ref school. Because
I'm running to ref school, and all my shit's at the other hotel. I brought a shirt to stay here to go. Put it on. Walk out there, and I'm like, fuck, where's my phone? Get outside the room. My phone's gone. My phone's in the room. I don't have the key because I'm like all over the place now, frantic. I come down here and I remember seeing there's a little convenience store right here. I remember seeing they had collar shirts. So I ran sprint down here, no phone, no nothing. Literally see it cost $98 for this fucking shirt. Just no lie. Fortunately, I had cash, $120, throw it. I take it, throw the tag, say, I gotta go. Sprint. Jason Kidd sees me. Haley O'Shaughnessy sees me. They're like, oh, Richard, you must be late. And I'm like, now's not the time, J Kidd. Now's not the time. Literally sprint. This shirt still has the creases on it. I make it inside a referee class about 90 seconds before they start. It was one of the most stressful, like you're about to give a presentation type shit. But yeah, that's how my morning went. And that's why
Will
I'm wearing
it. Will you ever wear that shirt again?
I'm going to keep this shirt as a...
For $100.
You saw I'm wearing it right
now. It's a memory. It's a memory, too.
It's a memory. But I'm wearing it right now. I'm wearing this shit all day. I paid $100 for it, and I can't take it back.
Hey, two hotel rooms, man. More money, more problems.
Nice. I didn't pay for either of them, man. It's just I have too many jobs. That's it. You got multiple jobs.
Doesn't know where his phone is.
Unbelievable. We tracked down the phone, though.
We tracked down the phone. I had to do referee class without it.
Not all who wander are
I was lost this morning. I'm not going to lie. Like I was lost this morning. I had a bad moment.
Shout out to Duncan Robinson, Davis Reed, Long Shot Podcast. Thanks for joining Road Trippin'.
Davis, great stuff out of you today.
I thought I brought it.
I
I thought I brought it. You were here.
You were outstanding. I see you.
Front row seats, baby. Less is more.
I know my role. Hey, I know my role.
KYP, thank you. Me as well. Yeah, we know our role.
Yeah, let us not shut up.
We do all the work, and you guys get all the
All the love.
Congrats, guys.
I appreciate it. Thank you. You know, that's what we do it for.
That'll do it.
Oh, my God.